Amen. Boy, I'm glad to be in church. I'm glad to be saved. And I'm thankful that the Lord's blessed us with an opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, you want to go with me. We're in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to talk about the encounter of the servant of the Lord at the burning bush. And what we're going to find, my hope and my prayer is that through this, we're going to find ourselves in the same situation sometimes that Moses found himself in. I'm thankful this morning that the thing that we get out of the Word of God is that the characters that were in it are not beyond our being able to relate to them. We can relate to people in the Bible because they were people just like we are. They had faults. They had failures. They had flaws about their character. And they weren't perfect by any means. There's only ever one person ever written in the pages of history that ever walked and lived a sinless, perfect life. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody else besides Him could ever claim in any way that they had a life that was perfect or even close to perfect. In fact, we're going to find in the life of this man Moses, he was a murderer. He killed a man and he hid him in the sand. But Moses was still called one of the meekest men upon the face of the earth. But I tell you, as we see this account, which is one of the first major events in the turning point of his spiritual life, one of the things that I want us to try to do this morning is place yourself in the spot where Moses was when he approached this burning bush and heard the voice of the Lord come out of that bush speaking to him. All right, he says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, in the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Father, help us now, we pray, as we go into this message. Lord, get glory to yourself. Fill us with your Spirit and your power. Father, we pray that you might set a guard of watch before the door of our lips, that we say not anything, Lord, that be contrary to your word. But Father, everything that comes forth would be exactly as you purposed it to come forth, and it would accomplish, Lord, exactly what it needs to accomplish. Lord, bless your people. Give us ears to hear, Lord, what thus saith the Spirit of God to the church of the living God. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. The passage points to a great type picture of what it means to rekindle the fire of fellowship between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even though Moses was a man who at this point in his life had never met the Lord, there was still something about him that he was still a Levite. He was still a descendant of the nation of Israel and a Levitical priest, as God was going to have him become later on down the road. But the thing that I think we ought to look at here is we need to look at the fact that whenever you and I get into a place of sometimes we get cold, sometimes we get a little bit turned off to the things of God. And listen, I ain't saying that we go from being a blazing 120 degrees to down to a freezing negative 20 degrees. No, that's not what the devil wants for you, and that's not what the devil wants for me. He wants you to get back there on your spiritual thermostat, and he wants you to get that thing down to about 70, where it's nice and comfortable and you can just lay down and just relax and you don't have to worry about feeling uncomfortable about anything, and you don't have to worry about causing you to have to get up and do this. We was laying up there in the bed last night, and I tell you, normally I could set our little propane heater downstairs to a certain temperature and it'll keep the upstairs really warm, but down there at the ground level where the heater is, it gets a lot colder. So when I get up in the morning, I have to go down there I have to turn the heater up so that it'll heat the downstairs a little bit. But by the time I get warmed up in the downstairs, them two still up there in the upstairs are about smoked out of that thing. Come to think of it, that's going to be my new strategy. If I think they're sleeping too late, I'm just going to kick the heat on a little higher. I'll smoke them out of there. She says, I'll open the window. But listen, I want to tell you something this morning. The devil don't care how much we come to church, amen. The devil don't care how much that you and I try to pick up our prayer life, and he don't care if we pick up our Bible. The devil don't care about any of that stuff. Just so long as we don't turn the thermostat up, that's all he don't want us doing. He said, I don't care how much you walk by that bush and look at it. I don't care how much that you stop and stare at that bush from afar. Off, just don't get so close that you feel the flame of the fire that's coming off of that thing. That's what it means to rekindle the fires of fellowship that's within the heart of every believer. We need that burning fire, that burning desire to fellowship with God, to want to walk with God, to want the power of God. Listen, I was talking to our Sunday school class. Sunday school was me, Bill, and Donna, and Heather. That was Sunday school this morning. But whenever we got in here, we got to talking about the different things. I told them, I said, listen, I said, they're changing everything about church now. They're changing the manner in which they have services. They're changing the music, and they're changing the dress, and they're changing that. Listen, I don't care what you wear when you come to church. Just wear clothes, amen. I ain't worried about girls wearing dresses and boys wearing suit and tie, all that, whatever, man. Just wear something that's modest and decent and get yourself into church. That's all I'm worried about. But listen to me. They're changing that stuff so much so that it's getting to say, listen, we're trying to change the music because it appeals to the kids. It brings the kids in. They like the new modern music. They like this and they like that. Can I tell you something this morning? I'd be happy if I could have a church with about 50 or 100 kids in here. I'd love that. But you know what I need? I need adults. I need adults. You know why I need adults? Because kids ain't going to pay tithes. Say, are you materialistic, preacher? No, I'm not materialistic. But the reality of a church is people have to pay tithes to keep the lights on, keep the heat going, keep the things that need to be paid for on the premises paid for. And that's not me being materialistic and throwing out there a punch for money. I don't care. Listen, God's provided for us for the 5 years that I've been here and the 40 plus that this church has been here. And He's going to keep providing as long as He wants these doors open. But the reality is still that it takes money to operate a church. And see, the generation that's coming up, they're not paying tithes. So why do we need the older crowds? Because we got to keep these doors open somehow. As much as I'd love a crowd of about 100 kids in here, that'd be great, but we'd have the air conditioner and the heater jacked up so much we couldn't keep the power bill paid. What is that? That's just reality. That's just reality. But listen, can I tell you something? I'm not going to turn the heat down in here just so a bunch of kids can be comfortable and come in here and enjoy some rock and roll music and enjoy some smoke under the stage and lights of flashing and a flickering. This ain't a rock show. If they want to see that, they'd go to the Milo Center or Asheville Civic Center and they can live their hell life like that and not do it in the church house. Say, well, I'd rather them do something like that here where I can control it. Baloney. You might control what goes on, but you ain't controlling what's happening in their heart, and that's what I'm concerned about. Amen. I'm more interested in what's going on in here. That's where it's important. The Bible says to keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it come the issues of life. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if your heart's out in the far country, it don't matter where your hind ends are sitting. Amen? Amen? If your heart's in the far country, it don't matter where your backsides are sitting. Your heart's going to be where your heart's going to be out yonder. And I can almost guarantee you this. Anybody that's lived any amount of time in life knows this. If your heart's in the far country, it's not going to be long before your tail end follows it. Amen? Amen. Why do we need that rekindling? We need that fellowship. We need that fellowship. We need that rekindling. After Cain slew Abel, and Cain was marked by God, the man's need to get a hold of God was only remedied by his willingness to call upon the name of the Lord. How do you know that? Because it says in Genesis 4 and verse 26, it's the very last verse of that chapter. He goes down there and he's naming all the descendants of Cain. And whenever he gets down there to the end of it, it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Why did men begin to call upon the name of the Lord? Because the fellowship with God was then not because God had a sinless, perfect being that he could fellowship with, but because sin was in the world. Man's fellowship with God was dependent on his willingness to call on God's name and seek God out. And that's why it takes that. That's why it is what it is. We have fellowship with God because we want fellowship with God, not because he forces us to have fellowship with him. All right, so the Lord still reaches out to those. And we see this because in verse 1 and 2, here in Exodus 3, it says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian. But look at where he led them. He said he led them to the backside of the desert. You know, if you just add one letter to that word, it gets to the backside of the desert. And that's where a lot of Christians are. They're not on the backside. They're on the backside of the desert. Why? Because they missed the bush. They ain't getting close enough to the bush to feel the heat. Amen. That's what they need. Amen. Hey, listen, I ain't going to sit here and act like I've got it figured out. I need that bush. And I need that heat. And I need it now more than I've ever needed it. Because it's getting harder and harder to keep your chin up and walk a Christian walk, putting one foot in front of the other, living right, doing right, and trying to maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's getting harder and harder to do that. And just getting Christians to do the basicest and the simplest of things. Used to be, it used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago that you'd get Christians. It was a hard thing to get Christians to come and get together on a weeknight and have prayer and get in their vehicles and go knock on doors. And that was the hardest, that was hard to get them to do. You know? Now it's hard just to get Christians to keep coming to church and read their Bible and pray. I ain't saying everybody's backslid. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there's, how do I know? Preacher, you're telling me all this. How do I know if this is the place where I'm at? Can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat? If not, you might be a little too far from the bush. Why do I need to stay close to the bush? Yeah, we're going to answer that question here in just a minute. Stay on the horse, youngins. We're going somewhere, I promise. All right? I want you to know this. God can still reach those who are in a backslid condition. Amen? Thank God for that. Thank God for that God can still reach people in a backslid condition. He reached me. Amen? Still does. Say, preacher, you still get backslid? Yes! I do from time to time. I still find myself walking by the bush. And then in a moment I feel, man, I've got to chill. Why is that? Oh, I've walked too far from the bush. Amen. And let me tell you something. I can honestly tell you that the reason God reached down and He'll touch a backslid heart ain't got nothing to do with the heart of the person He's touching. It's all because of His mercy, His grace, and His long-suffering. That's all that it's about. Listen, anybody sitting here this morning that's had a backslid condition in their past and the Lord brought them back from it, can't do nothing but look up and say, it's not but your grace and mercy. Let me come back and fellowship with you. It ain't not but by the grace of God I'm sitting in the church house this morning. It ain't but God's marvelous grace that's given me a chance to breathe His air again. Amen. But that's what we need now. Now, Moses had amazement thing with his... it says that Moses looked at this thing and he said he was amazed at it. But his amazement with this sight wasn't that the bush was burning. Listen, that's something we need to get inside of our hearts this morning. The reason Moses was so enamored by this happening, he walks by and here's a bush and it's burning. But it wasn't the fact that the bush was burning that amazed him. It was the fact that it wasn't burning up. It wasn't consumed. Listen, I watched something here. Oh, Lord, what is that called? It's some show that comes on the Discovery Channel from time to time, Bible Mysteries Explained or something like that, where they try to tell you there's a scientific explanation for the events that happened in the Bible. And I just happened to catch the one that was about the burning bush. And they said that the bush wasn't on fire because God was there. It was some kind of a ash tree that was a sapling ash tree. And the heat combined with the acidic whatever in the bark of the tree caused the tree to spontaneously combust. And when the tree spontaneously combusted, it was not consumed because of the kind of bark that it had on it and the time of year that it was. That it was so green that it wasn't consumed. So when Moses walked by, and he saw the bush was on fire, but nothing was burning up. This was why. I thought, you're so smart, you're stupid.
That's right.
Amen. You're so smart, you're stupid. You ain't got no more sense. Listen, you can't buy brains, amen.
Right.
I don't care if you got a PhD behind your name. To me, that stands for pile higher and deeper is all that stands for. Because a lot of these PhDs ain't good for nothing but flipping a cheeseburger. Let alone going out here spending millions of dollars trying to explain away the hand of God and what He did. And if the Bible says it, I believe it. And that settles it. I don't care what He says. But here's Moses. And it says in verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. So here he is. He's amazed at the fact. Now listen, it should be amazing. It should be amazing that with the church, the body of Christ, now I ain't just talking about Heady Mountain, I'm talking about the body of believers. It should be an amazing thing that with the body of believers in the shape that it's in right now, that God is still willing to meet with somebody who's willing to call upon His name. I'm going to tell you something. I was sitting in the... I was driving down the road the other day. I was in the truck. I was driving down the road the other day. And man, it just... I tend to talk to the Lord a lot when I drive. I don't turn the radio on much. I mean, I just don't care to. And a lot of places where I have to work, I don't get good radio stations anyway. So I just kind of get tired of the noise and the static on the radio and everything. So I just turn it on. I talk to the Lord. Thank God there ain't no static between me and Him. Amen. He speaks and I can hear Him. And when I speak, He can hear me. It's about as clear channel as I've ever had. Amen. 777, yeah, that's heaven station, I guess. But listen, I got there and I was driving down the road. Man, I just began to talk to the Lord. And just about nothing in particular. Just, Lord, it sure is a pretty day. And man, I tell you, just to see that You can still change the seasons like You do. Man, Lord, what a blessing to see that we might get some snow on the ground. I know work-wise we ain't really looking forward to it. But Lord, we need some nitrogen back in the ground for the garden to grow next year. Lord, I'm just sure glad that You still are in control of everything. And you know what? The thought just finally dawned on me. Do you have any idea who you're talking to? I said, well, I'm talking to the Lord. He said, but He's the Lord. Yeah, but what? Man, that's a creator of the universe that spoke the very world into existence. I mean, when there was nothing there in the beginning, He said, let there be light. And there it was. We walk into the room and we flip the switch. And that's the way the Lord was out there in the universe. And He just, let there be light. It's just like somebody flipped the switch on. And then by the word of His power, He divided the waters from the waters and He created the earth and there it was. And then He began to bring life out of it. And then He put a man there and then He put a woman there. And then He rolled His sleeves down and He said, boy, He said, the Bible says He looked and He saw that it was good. And then man went and screwed it up. And the Lord rolled His sleeves back up. And He ain't rolled them down for 6,000 years. Because it was 4,000 B.C. when He created Adam. And it's been 4,000 to zero. Jesus Christ was born and here we are in 2021. So you're looking at 6,000 plus that He's had His sleeves roll back up. Why? Because every time He turns around, man just keeps finding himself in another mess and another mess and another mess and another mess. I think that's why He sent Jeremiah, where Jeremiah 18, down to the potter's house. And Jeremiah was looking in the window of the potter's house and it says that he had a vessel and it was on the wheel, but it was marred. And he says he put his hands to it and he made it again another vessel. You can't do that with your sleeves rolled down. Got to roll your sleeves up. Sometimes getting back in fellowship with the Lord requires a little work. Sometimes it requires a little effort. We need it though. Listen, as long as His grace has been with us, it's still amazing. Amen?
Amen.
The amazing grace that sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Listen, that grace has been with us for a long time, but it don't change the fact that it's any less amazing. It's more amazing today than it was yesterday. Amen? God's amazing grace. That's another one. God's amazing grace sent down from heaven, rescued me from sin and from shame, opened up my eyes and brought salvation. Now I'm His. Praise His holy name. Well, what a blessing. As long as that grace has been extended to people, it's still amazing. It's still amazing. So why? Now, let's get to this. Why? Why do we need to be so close to the bush? Why do you need to get closer to the bush? Well, number one, that's where the warmth is. Amen. We've already said that the devil would love nothing more than to get your thermostat and turn it down to about 70. See, the devil, he says, okay, but he said, you stay. He said, the bush is there. He said, you stay right here. You're still feeling the heat, but it ain't so much that it gets you uncomfortable. No, listen, can I offer some... you ain't going to do it physically. You ain't going to walk up to a fire and stand right on top of it, but my gosh, this is wonderful. Oh, it is burning the clothes off of my hide and singeing every hair that I've got, but man, this is wonderful. That you ain't going to do that. But boy, spiritually, I'm going to tell you something. You need to get up on that fire and sit down in the middle of that thing. Say, wow, that'll burn me up. It'll burn that flesh up. It'll make that flesh uncomfortable. That flesh will writhe and that thing will twist and it'll squirm. And boy, you're sitting there going, man, glory to God, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Woo, praise the Lord for the Spirit of God that meets with people. Man, the fire's falling this morning. I can feel it in the depths of my soul and your spin. Your flesh is saying, I can't wait to get to the Mexican restaurant. I can't wait to get to Manzanilla. Boy, there's a cheese texana waiting on me. And it's going to have some crab and some shrimp. And it's going to have some rice in it, bless God. And it's going to be good. And I'm going to meet so-and-so and so-and-so. We'll probably see them. They're there every Sunday anyway. We might beat them this week if the preacher hushes up. And see, that's what your flesh is saying. Man, I can't wait to get home. My show's going to be on. Can't wait to get home. Ball game's going to be on. Can't wait to get home. I got a nap I'm going to get to take. Can't wait to go to the lake. I can't wait to go fishing. I can't wait to go camping. I can't wait to go hunting. Can't wait to do this. Can't wait to do that. And all the while, the Spirit inside saying, glory be to God. Let the fire fall. But here's the flesh, and it wants to do everything else. Why is it important, preacher? You need to get closer to the fire. Get up on top of that thing. Let that thing burn a while. Let it make that flesh squirm. That flesh gets to writhing, and it gets to twisting, and it gets to moaning and groaning. And you're sitting there, and the Spirit's just feeding, man. It's like a buffet, and the Spirit's just feeding, and it's feeding, and it's feeding. And you're sitting here, the flesh says, man, I need to get out of here. And you sit there, and you say, you sit here, shut up. I'll give you everything you've wanted all week long. You're going to let me have one day where the Spirit of God gets to feed my soul. That's the way they get. We need that fire. Get close to the bush. Why? Because that's where the warmth is. The fire of God's fellowship. I'm going to tell you something. The fire of God's fellowship can thaw any heart. It can thaw any heart. The Bible says the days come when the love of many shall wax cold. And I tell you, that's where we're at. Hey, we're in the last days here, and the love of people are beginning to wax cold. You ain't got folks can't walk up to a Christian and just look at somebody. Listen, if you got a Christian that you know right now, and you can't go to them and you can't look at them and say, listen, I just want you to know I love you. Ain't a person in here. I don't reckon. Yeah, not even her. No, listen to me. Ain't nobody in here I wouldn't walk up to you and look you right in your eyes and say, brother, I love you. I love you. I love you. Brother Bill, I love you. You know, Jordan, brother, I love you, man. Your wife, Miss Angel, I love you. Appreciate y'all. I love y'all. I'm so glad to see y'all. I miss y'all. I'm so glad to see both of you. I love y'all so much. Brother Eddie, brother, I love you. Mandy, I love you. I love you folks. Listen, I need y'all's fellowship. I need to be with you folks on a weekly basis. I need to say, oh, you need somebody to yell and scream at. No, I need somebody of like mind that I can be around that's going to fuel my fire. Because listen, it ain't easy to keep the fire burning when you've got all that stuff on you throughout the week. You need that person. Listen, it's just like we talked about during the candlelight service. I'm that one little light in the middle of that menorah. Just a light in the menorah. That's all I am. But there's a bunch of other candles beside me. And if mine goes out, it's not hard for one of the others to just lean over just a little bit and light me right back up. Boy, it don't take nothing. It don't take any effort at all. And that's why I need to be close to the bush, because there's no telling when my light's going to blow out and somebody's going to have to lean over and light it back, or one of your lights is going to go out. And you're going to need somebody to lean over and light it back. We need that fire. You need to get close to that bush. Why? Because that's where the warmth is. And the fire of God's fellowship will thaw any heart that's gotten cold. Listen, it's not just because there's sin. I think that's where we as Bible believers make the mistake of thinking that if I'm out of fellowship or my heart's gotten cold, it's because I'm living some sin, guilt-ridden life. No, sometimes it's just the fact that we get weary in well-doing. We're trying to live right. We're trying to do right. We're trying to take care of our family, trying to pay our bills, trying to be a good testimony, trying to be faithful. But it gets tiring sometimes. And it gets worrisome. It gets wearisome. Listen, trouble happens. Listen, my car blew up. My water heater blew up. I got flat tires. I ain't got no tires. Listen, just because things like that come don't mean there's always sin going on. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just life. You know what I think a lot of our problems is? And I'm just now learning this. Y'all forgive me for the time it took me to learn this lesson. Sometimes it's because people just need to get a break. And I'm beginning to learn that sometimes the worst problem we have with giving people a break is we won't give ourselves one. I ain't saying let sinful living go. That ain't what I'm talking about. But listen, when you're trying, when you're doing your best, and man, it just seems like out of nowhere, you're getting blindsided on every end. It ain't always, you don't always have to sit here and go, well, here we go. No, I don't want to go to church because all he's going to do is yell and scream about how I'm out of fellowship. I need to get back to church. I need to get back and do this. I need to do this. No, sometimes it's just the fact that the devil won't let you up off the mat. He's got you flat on your back and he won't let you up off the mat. So what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. By the grace of God, preacher's going to come out here and he's going to put a hand down. He's going to try to help you up off the mat. Because I want to tell you, you need that fire. You need that bush. And you need to get closer to it. Why? That's what the preacher's going to do. Preacher, that thing's hot. I know. Closer, closer. Hey, you saints of God, get around the backside of that bush and start blowing on them flames. Get that thing hot. Because this Christian is cold because of what the devil's put them through and what the world's put them through and what they've put themselves through. They need to be heated up. Amen. We need that fire because that's where the warmth comes from. I tell you what else. It's where the light comes from. The hotter that thing is, the closer to that bush you get. Now remember, don't forget now. Don't lose track. It's not just the bush. Who's in the bush? The Lord's in the bush. He's the one who spoke to Moses out of the bush, right? So he's the one in the bush. And the closer to the bush you get, not only are you going to get warmer, you're going to see things better. Because that bush burning is also going to provide light. And you need to see. Psalm 119, verse 105. That's one of the most common verses that we quote whenever we have vacation Bible school. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love over there in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. I do this to every graduate that we have come through this school. I think I did it to her. I did it to her sister. Did it to Polly. I don't think I got to do it to Sarah. But I try to, when we give them the Bible, I want to put in there Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. But you know what? There's a reason why He directs the path, because He gives a light on the path you're walking on. Amen. If you trip and fall, it's probably because you're walking on a path that ain't got no light on it.
Amen, brother.
So you back up and you say, okay, hang on. Where'd the light go? You go get back in the light. You need that bush because not only is it warmth, but it's light. But then not only that, it's where there's a purging. He told him over in Job, let's go over here to Job very quickly. Job chapter 23. And in Job chapter 23, the Bible says this in verse 10. Job 23:10. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the word of His mouth more than my necessary food. Let me tell you something. Not only is that heat, not only is it light, but it's a means of purging. He said He purged me. That's what He said there in verse 10. He said, I shall come forth. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Why? Because I need to be purged. That fire. Listen, do you know what that fire is meant to do? If you go over to Proverbs and you read over there in Proverbs, it talks about he puts the silver and the gold and He puts it in a fining pot and He puts a fire under it and it burns off the impurities. That's the reason for the fire also, is it helps get rid of the impurities. Listen, there was three Hebrew boys and they got thrown into a burning fiery furnace, and when they come walking out, do you know what they didn't have on them? They went in with their clothes, they went in bound, and they went in with themselves. But when they came out, you know what they came out not having? The binding. Their clothes weren't singed, smell of smoke not even on them. But what they used to bind them with had been burned off. What does getting close to the fire do? It'll help set you free. It'll help cut you loose from the things that are holding you down, the things that are binding you up, the things that are causing you to have a hard time. You know, them chains that you carry around when you're in bondage, they get heavy. The Bible says pride compasseth them about as a chain. It's heavy. It's a heavy thing. You know what the Lord does? He'll come through and He breaks the chain. And He knocks it off. I mean, I love that song. Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. I like that song. But you know what I see a lot of Christians doing, and I find myself doing also, is when the Lord breaks the chains, they are so guilt-ridden about about those chains that they just pick them up and they keep dragging them. They had them chains wrapped all around them and they cried out, "Oh God, help me!" Psalm 34 and verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles, and he breaks the chains and they hit the ground, and the Christian is still so guilt-ridden, they reach and pick the chains up and say, "But Lord, what about this?" The Lord said, "What about it? I broke it off. Leave it. Move on. Don't worry about the chains. Don't worry about where you messed up. I've purged it." The fire of God's presence and the fire of God's fellowship will purge you, and it will clean you, and it'll burn off the impurities. And then lastly, and I'm going to quit with this one, it's where you'll hear Him speak. Because in verse 5 and verse 6, "And He said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And then you see Moses' response in verse 6. I want you to notice some things about verse 5, though. See, when it comes to being in fellowship with the Lord, you've got to understand that first you've got to be willing to do the simplest of things before you can get into the bigger things. When he walks up to the bush and he approaches the presence of God, the Lord gives him one thing to do. He says, "Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off." Why? Because when you step into His presence, there's nothing hidden. There's nothing covered. There's nothing. Them babies are fine. Y'all don't worry about them babies. Them babies ain't bothering me. Everybody looking at the baby. Don't worry about the babies. I'm glad they're here. But listen, when He took His shoes off, it took away all of the covering. What does that mean? That meant there was nothing hidden about where He'd been walking. The dust that was on His feet, the dirt, the mud, the slop, the stink. Hey, listen, I grew up on a farm, man. There wasn't nothing like taking your shoes off and running over to the barnyard and stomping around in every cow pie. It's mean wonders I ain't got hobbit feet. Hair all over them, you know. Some of you younger kids, I guess y'all would know them. All that, you know, all that manure you stomp around in. Hey, I tell you, you never got athlete's foot. I don't think I've ever had athlete's foot a day in my life. I'll lay claim to the fact that I'll claim the manure. You know, when it comes to my sin, I claim the blood. When it comes to my athlete's foot, I claim manure. Go stomp around then in a little while. It's a cure for what ails you. But listen, that's the thing about coming into the presence of the Lord. You've got to realize when you step in there and when you step in front of that, the fire warms you. The fire gives you light to see by. The fire purges what's got a hold of you. But I'll tell you what else is, when you step into His presence, when He starts having business done with you, it's first going to be the fact that you're going to take away all the covering of all the stuff that you think's hid. Ain't no shoes on when you come into His presence. Y'all going to make fun of me. Look here, I take my shoes off. I got my Gonzo socks on this morning. I love funky socks. I like goofy socks. And I've got about 50 pairs. I got them of all sorts. I'm wearing Gonzo this morning. But you know what? I tell you, that's the way a lot of Christians are. They're afraid to take the shoes off. I'm afraid of the smell. Well, thank God. Thank you for being courteous. I appreciate that. But when you step into His presence, you know what? He ain't worried about how it smells. You know what? He's knelt down around a table full of 12 disciples and one of them a devil, and He knelt down in front of all of them and He washed all their feet. He didn't care what they'd been stepping in, what they'd been walking in. He didn't care how dirty, how long it had been since they had a good washing. It didn't matter. He knelt down, He put on a garment, and He washed the disciples' feet. And I want to tell you something. It ain't going to be no different for you, but the first thing you got to understand is when you step into His presence, you've got to take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Because the place where you're standing is holy ground. There's got to be a change. So that's what that all amounts to. It amounts to a change. Alright? When it comes to the presence of the Lord, there's no covering. There's nothing. Everything is open and exposed. But I want to tell you this. Like I said, you got to be willing to take your shoes off yourself. He ain't going to force them off of you. Now I'm done. This is not where it ends. Alright? This isn't where it ends. This is just where it starts. This is just where it starts. It's the beginning of you finding out your need to stay close to the bush. Now listen, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so, but I would like to, when I tend to get imaginative, I tend to read between the lines when it comes to my Bible. And those places where it doesn't specify one thing or another, I find myself sometimes going, you know what? I wonder if Moses ever went back to where that bush was and visited it again. Say it may not have been on fire that time. Maybe not. But you know what you find as you walk further in your Christian life, you find that the fire is not physical. It's not always one that you just step up to and you can feel it and there it is, you can see it. Sometimes it's one that it burns inside. Jeremiah said it was a fire shut up in his bones. And sometimes the further in life's walk that you go, that's what you're going to learn and you're going to discover is that the fire, and I'm not saying this like these crazy stargazer people, you know, the fire's within, you know. But really, you think about it, the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And if He indwells you, then what's inside of you can burn and build and it can cause you to feel that warmth. It can cause you to see that light. Well, what's left? And I don't think any of us is above this. I don't care if you're still in fellowship. I don't care if you're out of fellowship. I don't care what it is. It doesn't change the fact that when you step into His presence, we still all have to take our shoes off. Because you still come as you are. And everything is open. And it's exposed, and there's nothing in darkness that is not brought to light. So when it comes to your fellowship with the Lord, the best thing to do is be honest. But you need to understand that you need the fire. You need that bush. You need to get closer to it. But when you do, just remember, you got to come as you are and be honest. Maybe this morning as we're getting ready to close this thing down, I know these young'uns have been patient, and I'm glad that they have. But we're going to have just a minute here where we're going to have a minute of invitation. And maybe this morning you look within yourself and you just, Lord, I don't think I'm as close to that bush as I need to be. Lord, I just don't think, I can't tell you, Lord, how long it's been since I've took my shoes off and just approached You as I am. But maybe that's something you might need this morning. You might need just step up into this altar and just say, Lord, I'm coming completely open. I'm coming completely exposed. Lord, I know that I have not done everything I should have done. But Lord, I do know that I need that. I need that fire burning again. I need that bush rekindled in my heart. And Lord, I need the heat because my heart's got cold.
Lord, I need the light because I have stumbled and fallen so much. And Lord, I need the purging because there's so much I feel like is dragging me down spiritually that only You could set me free from it. And maybe that's what You